ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நம. ஹரி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நம. சமாதிம் சர்வதா குர்யாத் ஹ்ருதயே வாத வா பஹிஹி சவிகல்போ நிர்விகல்பா சமாதிர்த்விவிதா ஹ்ருதி ஹ்ருஷ்ய சப்தானுவித்தேன சவிகல்ப புனர்த்விதா காமாத்யா சித்தகதா சித்தகா திருஷ்யாஹ தத் சாட்சித்வேன சேதனம் தியாயே திருஷ்யானுவித்தோயம் சமாதி சவிகல்பகா அசங்க சச்சிதானந்தா ஸ்வப்ரபோ ஸ்வப்ரபோத்வைத வர்ஜிதா அஸ்மீதி சப்தவித்தோயம் சமாதி சவிகல்பகா. வி சா அப் டு ஸ்லோகா 25 இன் த லாஸ்ட் கிளாஸ் எஸ்டர்டே, வேர் தி ஆத்தர் என்யூமரேட்டட் 6 சமாதிஸ். ஜஸ்ட் டு ரெஃப்ரெஷ், தி ஃபஸ்ட் ஒன் இஸ் அந்தர திருஷ்ய அனுவித்த சவிகல்ப சமாதி, இன்டர்னல் ஆப்ஜெக்ட் அசோசியேட்டட் சவிகல்ப சமாதி, அந்தர சப்த அனுவித்த சவிகல்ப சமாதி, இன்டர்னல் வேர்ட் அசோசியேட்டட் சவிகல்ப சமாதி, அந்தர நிர்விகல்ப சமாதி, இன்டர்னல் நிர்விகல்ப சமாதி, அண்ட் பாஹ்ய திருஷ்ய அனுவித்த சவிகல்ப சமாதி, எக்ஸ்டர்னல் ஆப்ஜெக்ட் அசோசியேட்டட் சவிகல்ப சமாதி, பாஹ்ய சப்த அனுவித்த சவிகல்ப சமாதி, எக்ஸ்டர்னல் வேர்ட் அசோசியேட்டட் சவிகல்ப சமாதி, பாஹ்ய நிர்விகல்ப சமாதி, எக்ஸ்டர்னல் நிர்விகல்ப சமாதி. ஸோ ஃப்ரம் ஸ்லோகா 24 ஆன்வர்ட்ஸ் தி ஆத்தர் டிஸ்கிரைப்ஸ் ஹவு தி 6 சமாதிஸ் ஆர் டு பி ப்ராக்டிஸ்ட். And we said shlokas 24, 25 and 26, they deal with the first three samadhis. And shlokas 27, 28 and 29, they deal with the second three samadhis. And shloka 24 describes the internal thought-associated samadhi, namely antara drishya anuvidya savikalpa samadhi. This is thought meditation. There is no need to remove the thoughts. And in Shloka 25, we are entering the second form of meditation known as Antara Shabda Anuvidya Savikalpa Samadhi. So what is the difference between the first one and the second one? In the first one, I focus on the Chaitanyam as the Sakshi of the thought. I make use of the thought as an aid to come to the Chaitanyam, just as in the example, the hand was used as an aid to bring my attention to the imperceptible light. The thought is the reflecting medium for the Chaitanyam. And repeated practice of bringing the attention away from the thoughts to consciousness by which the thoughts are experienced. The mind will gain the capacity to remain with the consciousness principle without being distracted by the thoughts. So having established the mind in Sakshi, the various other aspects of the Sakshi are dwelt upon, the final feature being that the Chaitanyam is I am. So what are the features that I should dwell upon? From the Upanishads, I can draw any number of features as we mentioned yesterday. Generally, it is suggested that one should take a word from the Upanishads or the Bhagavad Gita or the Prakarana Granthas to dwell upon. And in each session, Nididhyasanam, a different word can be used for Nididhyasanam. And since the words from the Upanishads are used to dwell upon the Sakshi, this meditation is called Antara Shabda Anuvidya Savikalpa Samadhi. Because it is taken from the Upanishads, Vedas, it is called Shabda. So thoughts are used in the first Samadhi to arrive at the Sakshi. And in the second Samadhi, the features of the Sakshi are focused on. Of the Sakshi, they are focused on I, the Chaitanya. So this is the difference. And it is like meditating upon the light without the help of the hand. The first very powerful word, asangaha, unattached, that was used in the Shloka 25, which we saw in the last class. So the 25th verse talks of antaram shabda anuvidda savikalpa samadhi, an internal meditation connected with Vedantic words like. So these are all things which we already saw in last class. Now let us go to shloka number 26. Swanubhuti rasaveshat drishya shabda upekshyatu nirvikalpa samadhi syat nivatas nivatastita deepavat. So in this shloka, the antara nirvikalpa samadhi is described, the third one. So when I entertain these Vedantic thoughts, all of which point to the vritti, I am Brahman, that thought is called Atmakara vritti, Brahmakara vritti, or Akhandakara vritti. All of them are same, different names. Atmakara vritti, Brahmakara vritti, or Akhandakara vritti. So in the vritti is thought. And in the initial two stages of Savikalpa Samadhi, these thoughts are entertained by me deliberately. I exist as a meditator in these two stages. I am very much present, and my will and effort are required. When a thought is entertained for some time, the mind itself gets into a groove. It is like a bike, for example. After being pedaled for a while, it goes on its own due to the gained momentum. The mind has the capacity to register what it has been doing, and it can repeat. For example, even after trying to remember a name for a while unsuccessfully and giving up the conscious effort, the mind will keep on working on that effort. Later, that name comes up in the mind for no reason at all. This is all we have experienced. The mind has that certain unique capacity. And when that process happens, it is called Sukshma Vritti. This is something which all of us have experienced. We see a person, we forgot his name. We try to recall, doesn't come immediately. But later, it comes. It is a thought process happening in the subconscious mind. In the mind, there are always Thula Vritti, in which Ahankara and will are involved. In the Sthula Vritti. And in Sukshma Vritti, for example, this is the second one, is the Sukshma Vritti that we just mentioned. And if you give an example, there is no other person, for example, sitting next to me in this room. If you take this room where I am talking from, there is no other person sitting next to me in this room. And your mind also has seen only one person. I have put the image of Sharadamba, that's it. The mind registered the absence of the second person even without any deliberate attempt on your part. So if asked later whether someone else other than me was here, the answer will be no. This answer is given because the mind has the capacity to register thoughts, vrittis, without the intervention of will or ahankara. In meditation, ahankara puts the Vedantic thoughts in the mind and dwells upon them sufficiently, creating a momentum, and thereafter, ahankara and will are not required for the thought to continue. The thought continues. We all have experienced all these things, but we have not analyzed it in this manner. The thought continues without any effort of the meditator. That vritti, that thought in the subconscious mind is called sukshma akhandakara vritti. Sukshma akhandakara vritti. Akhandakara vritti is a term used generally in Advaita Vedanta. It is also known as Brahmakara vritti, I just now said. It refers to a specific mental modification or thought pattern. When you consciously attempt to realize that you are the infinite self, this vritti arises. It represents a continuous I thought. That emerges when the mind focuses on the unbroken awareness of the undivided, non-dual nature of reality. When you focus in that direction, unbroken awareness of the undivided, non-dual nature of reality, Chaitanya. So the term Akhandakara Vritti does not appear explicitly in major Upanishads or Bhagavad Gita. Its introduction in Advaita Vedanta is attributed to actually various teachers, various acharyas only. So the concept aims to extend the process of object cognition by the mind, as explained in the Vedantic Pratibhasa, so many things they have told, to the stage of self-realization. This is a step. I just only want to add a few words about the second akara vritti, just to only make sure that such terms exist. This bridges the gap between ordinary perception and the direct experience of the non-dual reality. It is said that akhandakara vritti is a crucial step towards self-realization. It signifies the full and complete realization of oneness that remains constant in all circumstances. So when it is established, it leads to the complete absence of suffering, anxiety, anger, all those things, they are all byproducts. In essence, it is the mind's recognition of its own true nature as the unbounded, undivided self. And I say mind, we should be all careful. It is I. When the ahankara is not prominent, the duality also is not prominent. When the ahankara is not prominent, duality also is not prominent. As in the deep sleep state, for example, in which duality is not experienced at all because ahankara is dormant. In this condition also, vritti continues and the ahankara is not active. It seems to be similar to deep sleep, but it is not. In sleep, ignorance is present. But in this meditation, though ahankara is not prominent, the vritti, I am Brahman, is present. This is nirvikalpa samadhi. So in this verse, sloka 26, the antara nirvikalpa samadhi is described. Since the meditation is connected with the internal condition of the mind, in first stage, meditator focuses his attention on the thoughts occurring in the mind. The word drishyam, it refers to the thoughts because thoughts are objects of experience. All these terms should be very clear when I say thoughts are objects of experience and all that usages. The thoughts are illumined by the consciousness principle, which is called drik, the chaitanyam. Thereafter, one appreciates the fact that every thought is experienced because the chaitanyam spreads over the thought. Just as every object is experienced outside because the light spreads over the objects, the thought by itself is not experienceable because the thought is inert by itself. That is, vritti is inert by itself. The inert vritti is appearing sentient and experienceable because of the chaitanyam. And this chaitanyam is not physically separable from the thought. Attention should be actually shifted from the thought part to the chaitanyam part in this samadhi. Attention should be shifted from the thought part to the chaitanyam part. When chaitanyam is understood as an independent entity, it is called Sakshi Chaitanyam. This name is very familiar to us. When it is understood as an independent entity. Thus, when I take a thought and appreciate the consciousness as Sakshi Chaitanyam, it is called Drishya Anuvidha, thought-connected consciousness meditation. Meditation upon consciousness that is connected to thought as illuminator of the thought. And this shifting of attention is Samadhi number one. And after focusing on the Sakshi, the second samadhi is dwelling on the nature of Sakshi. First is the samadhi number one, is the meditation upon consciousness that is connected to a thought as the illuminator of the thought. And after focusing on the Sakshi, the second samadhi is dwelling on the nature of Sakshi, nature of the Sakshi. The features of characteristics of Sakshi Chaitanyam, such as Asangaha, Sachidananda, all those things are all focused upon. And while focusing this way, it is very important to not objectify the Sakshi, because that's a mistake commonly everybody does, but to say that the illuminating consciousness is I am. Only then it becomes aparoksha vritti, the vritti by which I claim the Sakshi as myself, direct. Then Sakshi is replaced by aham. I am the illuminator of the thoughts. Thoughts arrive and depart. I do not. Thoughts are divided and I am not. thoughts are confined to the mind, but I am not confined to this mind alone, but I am the Sakshi behind all the minds. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, idam shariram kaunteya kshetramitya vidhiyate etadyo vetitam prahuho kshetrajnyiti tadvidaha. Arjuna, may you know me as the knower of the body in all the bodies. Thus, I am whole, I am indivisible, I am full, I am relationless. All the words from the scriptures are taken and associated with I, the illuminator of the thoughts. So already the body consciousness, everything have gone. So since I use the Vedantic words in this meditation, it is called Shabda Anuvidya Savikalpa Samadhi. Shabda is Vedantic words. And in the first two stages, when I am invoking the witness awareness, Sakshi consciousness, Chaitanyam, claiming myself to be the witness awareness and dwelling upon my real nature, my will and deliberate attempt both are involved in the first two stages. Therefore, Ahankara, the meditator is active. Ahankara in the meditator is active. The active Ahankara is the subject. And the subject-object division is present. It is Savikalpa. I am the meditator. And the Sakshi Swarupam is the meditated upon. That difference is there. This subject-object division is prominent. So this is required because the thought does not naturally happen, but my will and effort are required. And here the author says that when the meditator has deliberately entertained a thought for some time, a momentum is caused and the mind registers the thought. The mind then dwells on the thought by itself without my will. This capacity of the subconscious mind to stay or continue with the thought without requiring the will and effort is called Sukshma Vritti Anuvritti. These are all terms. I'm just saying all this for the sake of completeness. Don't worry too much about those terms, so long as we understand the process. So many of our problems continue like this in our subconscious mind all the time, in parallel with the conscious activity of the mind. This all we have experienced, we are experiencing every day. Just only I am restating them. When deliberate mental activity stops, these vrittis surface to the conscious mind. This capacity of the subconscious mind is made use of to our advantage in this meditation involving the akhandakara vritti. When the subconscious mind takes over the meditation, ahankara is not required, and so it becomes less prominent. Ahankara becomes less prominent. The vritti will continue as in the deep sleep state. When the vritti continues in the subconscious mind, the triputi, the subject-object process division, is not prominent. In triputi and all words, I think you should be familiar, because the knowledge, the knower, known, and the process of knowing. This is triputi. In deep sleep, the ajnana vritti, in the form of I am in a blank condition, in deep sleep state, we are in a blank condition, I do not experience anything, that is present in deep sleep. But ahankara is not prominent and the subject-object division is not present. But I am in a blank condition, I do not experience anything, that is present. So this is in deep sleep. In Nirvikalpa Samadhi, as in deep sleep, the subconscious thought continues without the triputi, all these divisions. In deep sleep, the subconscious thought is Ajnana Vritti, whereas in Nirvikalpa Samadhi, the thought is Jnana Vritti. That is the difference. In deep sleep, the subconscious thought is Ajnana Vritti, whereas here it is, the thought is Jnana Vritti. When the inclination for the continuation of the Akhandakara Vritti, self-awareness, takes possession of the mind. So when the mind is in the grip of the Vedantic thought, the mind does not require the assistance of the thought or the Vedantic thoughts. As I told, it has gained momentum, it will by itself generate. Previously, the thought was made use of to come to consciousness. And then Vedantic words were used to focus on the Sakshi. Self-awareness continues in the form of Akhandakara Vritti without the subject-object division. Such a condition is called Nirvikalpa Samadhi. So Vikalpa means division in the form of Pramata, Pramanam, Prameyam. All these Vedantic words I'm very liberally using. Nirvikalpa means divisionless state of the mind. Exactly similar to the deep sleep state. I am not aware that I am entertaining the vritti at all. Thought continues without my awareness. This undistracted thought flow is compared to a flame of light which is kept in an enclosure, not affected by wind in this particular shloka. Such a flame does not flicker. Similarly, the mind in Nirvikalpa Samadhi remains in an undistracted thought flow. Krishna talks about the Samadhi in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Yata dipo nivatastaha nengate sopamasmrita yogino yata chittasya yujyato yunjato yoga matmanaha. Just as the lamp in a windless place does not flicker, so the disciplined mind of a yogi remains steady in meditation on the Supreme Lord. So Vidyaranya actually, he talks about this in this samadhi in his Panchadashi. Tyatri dhyane parityajya kramatyayaika gocharam nivatadipa vachittam samadhi abhidhiyate. Nivatadipa vachittam. Thereafter, Vidyaranya adds a note also. In Nirvikalpa Samadhi, the meditator is not aware that he is entertaining the I am Brahman vritti. Because in the Nirvikalpa Samadhi, he is not even aware that he is entertaining this I am Brahman vritti, because the will is resolved. The effort is not present. It is a blank state like deep sleep. And then Vidyaranya raises the question of how does one know that the vritti was present or not? Why cannot not be said that the Nirvikalpa Samadhi is a thought-free state? He is asking the question. The first answer is that there is no thought-free state at all. Even assuming that the Samadhi state is thought-free, it is a useless state of mind because there is no knowledge. Thought-free state of mind is not valued in Vedanta at all. It is not a thoughtless state, thought-free state, none of those. The Nirvikalpa Samadhi of Vedanta is an Akhandakara Vritti, Anuvritti, Vritti, Anuvritti state. How does it one know that the Vritti is present in Nirvikalpa Samadhi? Vidyaranya says that the situation is very similar to the deep sleep situation also. After waking up from sleep, one says that he did not experience anything in sleep. He says, what does he say? He did not experience anything in sleep. For that statement to be made, that experience of the non-experience of things must be registered in the mind. Otherwise, how he can say that? So that is a thought. The experience of the non-experience of things must be registered in the mind, which is a thought. So experience of non-experience of things must be registered in the mind in sleep, which is called Sukshma Vritti. That is why one is able to recollect the experience of the non-experience upon waking up. Upon waking up, I say, I slept very well. I didn't experience anything. That recollection is the proof of the presence of vritti or thought in sleep. Similarly, the recollection of the I am Brahman vritti, I am Brahman, that vritti, that thought, after one comes out of samadhi, proves the presence of that vritti in Nirvikalpa Samadhi. I am Brahman vritti after one comes out of samadhi. That proves the presence of that vritti in Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Now Vidyaranya says in the first chapter of Panchadashi, actually next sloka, vritta yastu tadhanim agnyata apyatma gocharaham smarana adanumiyante Vittitasya samuttitate. The continuation of the thought flow in Nirvikalpa Samadhi is not known at the time of Samadhi, but it is inferred from the recollection later. Continuation of the thought flow in Nirvikalpa Samadhi is not known at the time of Samadhi, but it is inferred from the recollection later. So the thoughts are present in subtle form in Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Now let us look at the shloka. Swanubhuti rasa veshat drishya shabda upekshyatu nirvikalpa samadhi syat nivatasthita dhipavat. Tu swanubhuti rasa veshat. Tu means but. On account of complete absorption in the bliss of realization of the self. Swanubhuti, bliss of realization of the self. Aveshat, absorption, complete absorption. Drishya shabdav, drishya shabdav, both the perceived objects and the sounds. Drishya shabdav, drishya is perceived object and shabda is the sounds, the Vedic words. Upekshya, being indifferent to both of them. Nivata stita deepavate, how indifferent, like a flame in a place free from wind. Nirvikalpaha samadhi syat. Absorption free from subject-object ideas. The nirvikalpa samadhi is that in which the mind becomes steady like the unflickering flame of a light kept in a place free from wind and in which the student becomes indifferent to both object and sounds on account of his complete absorption in the bliss of the realization of the self. Is the translation of the shloka. Let us go to shloka number 27. Idiva bahya deshepi 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 yasmin kasmim se vastuni samadhi radya san matran namarupa pratakritihi. So with the previous shloka, the first three samadhis are over. All are internal meditations focusing on Sakshi Chaitanyam obtained in my mind. All are internal meditations focusing on the witness consciousness, Sakshi Chaitanyam. That has to be necessarily internal because consciousness can be recognized only inside. One can never experience consciousness anywhere outside. When I am speaking, it seems that you are hearing and hopefully understanding also. I know that you are a conscious being, but I am not experiencing the consciousness in you. My sense organs are perceiving only the insentient body of yours. I can only experience consciousness in my body and not in your body. Consciousness is everywhere, but it is recognizable only in one's own body, as is referred to in Atma Bodha. Sada sarvagato pyatma na sarvatra avabhasate na sarvatra avabhasate. Buddha veva avabhasetaha swacheshu pratibimbavat. Atma does not shine in everything, although it is all pervading. Sarvagataha. It is manifest only in the inner equipment, the intellect, the manas buddhi, just as the reflection in a clear mirror, pratibhambam. So consciousness meditation can be practiced only internally. Hereafter, the three external samadhis will be discussed. What are those? Bahya. Bahya means external. Drishyanu vidyasa vikalpa samadhi, the same, except that they are external. Bahya shabdanu vidyasa vikalpa samadhi and bahya nirvikalpa samadhi. These are the three topics. Next to three shlokas. So in shloka 27, the author talks about the bahya drishya anuvidya savikalpa samadhi. Drishyanuvidya means object-oriented, object-associated. bahya external. The methodology is same like the previous time. This is also the same methodology here. And the internal samadhi, the thought was first focused, and from the thought, awareness present in the thought was arrived at and focused on. That was the process. If you remember, in the internal samadhi, the thought was first focused. And from the thought, awareness present in the thought was arrived at and focused on. Similarly, in this samadhi, any external object can be taken as an aid. And from the object, one has to go to Atma or Brahman. Similar process, except that the object is external. And it is suggested that it is better to take an object towards which one does not have a like or dislike. It is like watching a movie, concentrating on the screen only, not seeing what is happening on the screen. Take any object like a clip, for example. It has got, what are the things it has got? It has got Asti, Bhati, Priyam, Rupam, Nama, all those it has got. All the five components which we saw in the last class. Last class or the class before. Nama and Rupa alone belong to the clip. In these five components, Nama and Rupa alone belongs to the clip. When it is said that the clip is, the existence is present spread over the clip. When we say clip is, the isness, the existence is present spread over the entire clip. Then shift the attention from the clipness to the isness. The moment you have the attention on the clipness, then it is object oriented. And when you shift the attention from clipness to the isness, then it is existence. So you go to clip connected existence, clip connected existence. That is why we said drishyam anuvidya. Clip connected existence and focus on existence. So it is not possible to focus on consciousness here because consciousness is not manifest in the clip. Consciousness, awareness is not manifest in the clip, but existence is. Existence is very much manifested. Clip is. As one practices within the mind, in the internal samadhi, in the external world also, one should practice the samadhi taking the help of any external object. Because there is existence in every object. The pure existence, that is the isness, should be separated from the name and form by intellect. It is through buddhi you separate. From the name and form, you separate the isness. Existence, again, the same way, is not a part, property, or product of the clip. All these things, same thing that we said for the awareness, consciousness. Understanding in this way is called drishya anuvidyam savikalpa samadhi. All this we said essentially to make us understand that it is drishya anuvidyam savikalpa samadhi. After separating the nama rupa in this manner, then the pure existence that should be focused on. And this is an open eye meditation. We can call it, this is an open eye meditation. Sat, the pure existence. Chit is the pure consciousness. Sat is the pure existence, is the screen. And all the happenings of life is only a shadow movie on that screen. Pure existence is the screen. And all happenings of life, all happenings of life, they are only shadow. Shadow movie on the screen. Now let us look at the Shloka 27. Kridhi vabahya deshepi yasmin kasmim cha vastuni samadhiradya san matran namarupa pratakritihi. Kridhi vabahya deshepi, as in the heart, kridhi eva, and in the external region also, bahya deshepi, yasmin kasmim cha vastuni, in any object whatsoever, samadhi radhyaha syat, of the first kind of samadhi, drishya anividya, that is possible. Saha sanmatrat, from the pure existence, sanmatra, nama rupa pritakritihi, the separation of names and forms. So the first kind of samadhi is what? Savikalpa samadhi with the help of an object, the drishya anuvidha, that is possible with the help of any object, external object, like for example, sun, moon, any of them one can take, as it is with the help of any internal object, like for example, kama, krodha, they are also one can take, any thought pattern. So in that samadhi, the name and form are separated from what is the pure existence. There we separated that object from the pure consciousness. Here we are separating from the pure existence because it is an external object. This is just only a simple descriptive shloka. Let us go to shloka number 28. Akanda ikarasam vastu sachidananda lakshanam ityavichinna chitteyam samadhir madhyamo bhavet. Here, the other kind of savikalpa samadhi, that is shabda anuvidha, savikalpa samadhi associated with sound as the object to be practiced with the help of an external object, not internal, external object. So the first stage is what? Is the segregation of the existence from the nama rupa and shifting the attention to the existence. For the any external object, you have to shift the attention from the nama rupa name form and focus it on the existence. Thereafter, attention should be focused on the various characteristics or features of existence. Existence is not a part, product, or property of the object. It is not limited to the object only. The object has boundary, but existence goes beyond all these things. And beyond the object, existence may not be perceived, not because it is not present, but because there may not be a medium to manifest it. All these things all should come into the mind the moment we want to focus on the features of existence. Like consciousness, same. Existence is all pervading. The objects can be counted, but existence cannot be counted because there is only one undivided existence. All objects can be counted. Existence cannot be counted. Because there is only one undivided existence. Chandogya Upanishad very nicely says, Sadeva Somya Idamagra Asit Ekameva Advitiyam. So nice. So the beginning, the universe was being Sat alone, Sadeva, one only without a second, Ekameva Advitiyam. So pure existence is one indivisible whole. One indivisible whole. Some of the features of pure existence like all pervasiveness, indivisibility, all supporting, relationless and all that thing, one has to dwell upon all those features. And for this, words from the Upanishads are used. And so this second samadhi is called Shabda Anuvidha. We are using the words from the the Upanishads and any other grantha connected with words. So the pure existence is indivisible. Pure existence is indivisible. It is one and whole and it is partless. These are all features. The objects of the world have parts. Any object you think of, there are parts. There are so many parts in the world. But pure existence does not have parts, just as space does not have parts. Spatial directions like east, west, they are arbitrarily assigned with reference to the sunrise and sunset and are not absolute. We have to keep it in mind all the time. All these directions, east, west, south, north, they are all arbitrarily assigned with reference to the sunrise and sunset. They are not absolute. Now let us look at the shloka. Akhanda ikarasam vastu sachidananda lakshanam Idya vichinna chitteyam samadhir madhyamo bhavet. Akandaikarasam, of the same nature always and unlimited by time and space. Akandaikarasam. Sachidananda lakshanam, characterized by the existence sachit ananda. Existence, sat, chit, consciousness, ananda, unlimited. Ananta. Yat vastu, yat you shall supply, that vastu, that entity, tadeva brahma, that is Brahman. That is that entity is Brahman. Iti yam avichinna chinta. Avichinna chinta. Such uninterrupted reflection. Chinta madhyama samadhihi bhavet. That is called the intermediate samadhi. So the entity which is always of the same nature and unlimited by time space, which is characterized by Sachidananda, that is really Brahman. Such uninterrupted reflection is called the intermediate samadhi, that is Savikalpa samadhi. Associated with here, the object is sound, Shabda Anuvidda. Also, a descriptive shloka only. Let us go to shloka 29. Stabdhi bhavo rasasvadat. Tritiya purva vanmataham. Etai samadhi bishadbihi. Nayet kalam nirantaram. So, in these shlokas, before I continue with the actual shloka, I will just only refresh a little bit because we have been seeing things back and forth. It is better to put them all in perspective in a coherent manner once to keep us in track. So in these shlokas from 22nd verse, the author is dealing with the topic of Nididhyasana. So we should remember what is the topic. Our Vedantic meditation in the form of sixfold Samadhi Abhyasa. And of these six types of samadhi, there are internal and external, three internal, three external. And in the internal samadhi, description, the discipline practiced by the meditator is separating the thought and the consciousness. Thought-consciousness separation is practiced because every thought we experience internally is a mixture of chaitanyam and antakarana vritti. Antakaranam is internal, internal equipment. Thought is an internal equipment, internal vritti. So because of chaitanyam alone, the thought is experienced. A thought cannot be experienced by itself. So in the first stage, we take the thought and consciousness together and shift our attention from the thought to the consciousness part, which is called Drishya Anuvidya Samadhi. Having shifted the attention to the consciousness, we dwell upon the various features of the consciousness. Each feature is remembered with the help of a Shastra Vakyam. That the consciousness is relationless, it is eternal, it is all-pervading, it is pure consciousness. They are all taken and seen as the nature of consciousness. All this we have described, I am summarizing for the sake of our continuity and putting everything in a concise fashion. So shifting the attention to Chaitanyam is Drishya Anuvidham. And dwelling on the Chaitanyam with the help of the Upanishadic verse is Shabda Anuvidham. So shifting the attention is Drishya Anuvidham. And dwelling on the Chaitanyam with the help of Upanishadic verse is Shabda Anuvidham. It is called Shabda Anuvidham because Shabda here refers to the sound. Not the sound, regular sound, but the Upanishadic words. Since we are segregating thought and consciousness, and since thoughts are available only internally, it is called Antara Samadhi, internal meditation. Then the author talked about the culmination of this Samadhi Abhyasa, which is nothing but the total absorption in that thought without requiring our effort. All these we described in the various ways. Because the thought continues in the subconscious mind, that state is called Nirvikalpa Avastha. I gave the example of forgetting the name of a person and later it comes, and because the mind was exercising that through that. So Nirvikalpa Avastha, because the conscious mind is non-operational. In that stage, the ego or I is dormant because ego operation requires a consciousness, conscious deliberate mind. Thus the internal meditation leads to the internal samadhi, which is called Antara Nirvikalpa Samadhi. So after talking about the meditation, the author has now come to the external meditation. In the internal meditation, I am separating the thought and consciousness, whereas in external meditation, I am separating object and not consciousness, but existence. So internal meditation, thought and consciousness are separated and features of consciousness are focused. In the external meditation, object and existence are separated and I focus on the features of existence. So in the internal meditation, it is thought and consciousness. And in the external meditation, it is object and existence. We gave the clip example. Internally, there is clip thought and consciousness. Whereas externally, the clip object is present along with the isness, clip is or existence. Here also, my first attempt is what? Is shifting the attention from the clip to the existence, which is called Drishya Anuvidya Samadhi. So this shifting is so called because I make use of an object as a stepping stone. Once the attention is shifted to existence, I dwell upon the existence by seeing the various features of that existence. To dwell upon these features, I make use of the Shastra words. Since Shastric words are used for dwelling upon the existence, it is called Shabda Anuvidya Samadhi. So the difference between the previous and the present Shabda Anuvidya Samadhi is what? In the previous one, words are associated with Chaitanyam inside, and now the words are associated with the existence outside. Existence is only one and indivisible. Even when the whole world is resolved, existence continues. The Namarupa universe arises in the existence. Existence canvas, we can call it. It exists in it and resolves in it, the entire Namarupa universe. So I deliberately entertain existence-centered thoughts. Very interesting features. I deliberately entertain existence-centered thoughts. And in this meditation, I have to come to one point. What is that? It's an important point. In internal meditation, we talk about consciousness. And in external meditation, we talk about existence. And when one practices both the internal and external meditations, a misconception may come. Sara may come. It may be concluded that there is one truth inside, that is chit, and there is another truth outside, that is sat, existence. So sat and chit may be thought to be different. Then after dwelling upon existence in the external meditation, I have to tell myself that I am that existence who is in the form of Sakshi in every thought. The existence inside is non-different from the consciousness outside. In the outside is not different from the consciousness inside. So I who obtains as the consciousness inside, am the one who obtains as the existence outside. There is no difference between Sat and Chit, Sadeva Chit. So the difference is only in name, and there is no difference in the essential nature. There should be this continuous thought flow without any distraction. This Bahya Shabda Anuvidya Vikalpa Samadhi, this is how it is practiced. And then what is Nirvikalpa Samadhi? When the conscious mind deliberately entertains this thought flow regarding the existence and also sees the identity with that existence as I am existence, I am Chaitanyam, we said earlier, now I am existence. The subconscious mind also picks up the same thought. When the consciousness mind deliberately entertains this thought, subconscious mind also picks up the same thought. Then the subconscious mind continuously entertains that thought. The conscious effort or the will of the meditator is no more required. Exactly as worry happens without our will, Akantakara Vritti also happens without the meditator's will or effort. This leads to the Nirvikalpa state in which the subject-object division is not felt because the conscious mind is not prominent. Division is not absent. However, one has to be careful. Division is not absent. To feel the division, conscious mind is required. Naturally, the thought that is happening in the subconscious mind, that is called Sukshma Vritti. We explained already itself earlier. We are never aware of that Vritti when it is happening. Sukshma Vritti, when it happens, as I told you, it's by the gaining the momentum and all that thing, that always it happens, we are never aware of that Vritti when it is happening. In sleep also, there is a nirvikalpa state in which subject-object division is not felt. But vritti is like, I am not experiencing anything. There is blankness or in the mind. They are still there in the mind. I am not experiencing. There is blankness. All these things are still, those vrittis are still there. Whereas there is no subject-object division. So these vrittis are sukshma. They are subtle in nature. And they are called karana sharira vritti or avidya vritti, subconscious vritti, all those things. And how does a person know that vritti is present in sleep? Simple. After waking up, I am able to recollect that I did not have any experience in sleep. Absence of experience is a form of experience. That experience is registered in the subconscious mind in a vritti form, in the nirvikalpa deep sleep state. Similarly, in nirvikalpa samadhi also, thoughts are registered in the mind and recollected later, even though vrittis are not recognized at the time of nirvikalpa samadhi. Nirvikalpa samadhi is a state of absorption in which Vedantic thoughts continue in sukshma form, subtle form. As in the internal meditation, in the external meditation also, culmination is the nirvikalpa samadhi after the two savikalpa samadhis. First two, drishya and sabdanavitta, drishyanavitta. So the natural absorption of the mind on the akhandakara vritti takes place when? Because of the enjoyment of Vedantic meditation. That is Vedantic meditation of Nididhyasana. Words like the rasa swada and stabdi bhava in this shloka, we are going to see them. They are used in some other contexts also in a totally different meaning. We don't have to, just only I'm telling this for the sake of continuation. In Manduka Karika also, because we have dealt with all that, people, if they remember that or refer to those things, one may think that this meaning seems to be different. When Vedantic meditation is talked about, the Rasasvada, that experiencing the Ananda in meditation is given as an obstacle to meditation there in Manduka Karika. And in this shloka, the author says that the absorption is caused because of the enjoyment of Ananda. That it is said as what? As an obstacle of Ananda to meditation. Ananda is the cause for nirvikalpa samadhi. Then which one is correct? That is correct. Mandukya Karika is correct or this is correct? Both are correct. The word rasa has two different meanings according to the authors. Ananda is divided into two anandas. This we mentioned earlier. One is called Pratibimba Ananda, the reflected Ananda, the experiential pleasure, which happens in the mind as a result of quietude in meditation. This is experiential pleasure. Thus, this reflected Ananda is gone once the meditation is over. So this reflected joy can be a bondage if one gets addicted to it. If he thinks that he wants that happiness, then it becomes an addiction all the time. For this reason, Gaudapasa criticizes this rasaswada in Manduka Karika because it can become an addiction. Here in this shloka, the rasa that is talked about is not the reflected ananda, but it is the original ananda, which is not an object of experience at all. So original ananda is my very own nature. This we have, I mean, all this we know. It is always present, which I need to only claim. The original ananda never changes irrespective of the conditions of the mind that produce varying degrees of experiential ananda. The original ananda never changes. So this claiming the original ananda, this atmananda, that is called rasasvada. In this shloka 29, yeah, that use word is used, I'm going to give the meaning. So the word, the stabdi bhava and its synonym, it is called the kashaya, that is also there. And it's used in actually Vedanta and all those texts they are using, Manduka Karika. They are called there as an obstacle to meditation. But in this word, the same word in this shloka, that is used as a favorable thing for meditation. In Vedanta and Manduka Karika, we saw Vedanta, we have not seen this other form, the forest. The word, the stabdi bhava that is used there. So it is to indicate what? The stunning of our immobilization, like a stambanam, stabdi bhava. The stunning or immobilization of the mind because of impurities in the subconscious mind, which results in the ability, inability to concentrate in Vedantic meditation. Because the impurities in the mind. So in this state, there are no Atma, Anatma vrittis, and the mind is stunned in that state. So this state is pointed out as an obstacle for meditation in Vedanta Sara and Mandukya Karika. But in this shloka, this Tabdi Bhava means the absorption of the mind in Vedantic thoughts alone, while remaining immobilized or not getting distracted at all with respect to worldly thoughts. So with this shloka, the author concludes the description of all the six Samadhi Abhyasa. Then the author advises that one should be engaged in this Samadhi Abhyasa continuously until it becomes Sahaja Samadhi. What does it mean, Sahaja Samadhi? These Vedantic thoughts are behind me all the time, in and through all the worldly transactions. Ahankara is only a role that I put on in my life. Life is a play enacted by and managed by Ishvara according to my karma. I should do what my various roles demand at the appropriate time in the appropriate manner. This way of living should become natural to me. That is, for a jnani, it's spontaneous. For all others, it is a sadhana. And when it becomes natural, it is called Sahaja Samadhi. That's why Krishna describes this in Bhagavad Gita, first chapter. Naiva kinchit karomiti yukto manyeta tattvavit pashyan shrinvan sprishan jigran ashnan gachyan swapan swashan pralapan visrijan grinnan unmishan nimishan napi indriyani indriyartesho vartanta iti dharayan. So a person who is together, composed, who knows the truth, he thinks, I do not do anything at all. Even while seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, walking, sleeping, all actions, breathing even, talking, releasing, grasping, opening, closing the eyes, the person knowing full well that the organs are engaged in their objects, even though he knows all of them, he knows the truth is what? I do not do anything at all. So after the establishment in my nature, I do not require Nididhyasanam as a sadhana because I am no more a sadhaka. So all these six samadhis, they are all put towards the Nididhyasanam. So a person, after establishing oneself in one's own nature, after owning it up, I do not require Nididhyasanam as a sadhana at all because I am no more a sadhaka. Now we have to look at a couple of more points, which maybe I will take it up in the next class to conclude this shloka. This is an important shloka. That's why I summarize the entire context in perspective so that we know how the development was done when we came to this shloka. यो वेदादौ स्वर प्रोक्तो वेदान्ते च प्रतिष्ठितः तस्य प्रकृतिलीनस्य यः परः स महेश्वरः श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु।